Hello, and welcome to another episode of Banking on Information. Today, my guest is Matt Bivens, who is the founder and CEO of Canopy. Welcome to the podcast, Matt.
Thank you so much. Really happy to be here.
Now, we start every podcast with that same very important question. So here it is for you, Matt. Why do you do what you do?
So I think there's two ways that we can answer this. Why did I found Canopy? And then why am I an entrepreneur? And they're slightly different, but definitely interrelated. So why did I start Canopy? I spent the last 10 years in banking and fintech and saw that borrowers wanted non-traditional loan products. And yet most banking products, most lending products are commoditized. The three-year loan that you get at Wells Fargo is the same that you would get at Bank of America. And even some of the fintechs that were part of my former life, trying to create a new user experience, still offered the three-year loan. And so I felt that the future of lending wanted more innovative products. People want personalization in the lending products they have. And that is true if you're a consumer or if you're a small business. And I think it's important just to give a little context on Canopy. We are an API-first lending core and operating system for small business lenders. When I think about modern technology and I think about the actual borrower needs, there was just a massive gap in the market. And when I think about really any great products facilitate better life experiences. And in lending, I think lending at its best helps facilitate those better life experiences. It helps you get through school with your student loans. It helps you choose the place that you're living with your mortgage. It helps you get to where you need to go with your auto loan. Lending it at its worst, it can obviously be very predatory. And Max Levchin, the co-founder of PayPal and Affirm, said this very well, that most financial products are like trying to read a manual to a chainsaw that you've never used before and have a high likelihood of cutting off a limb. And so transparency in lending is really key. And we felt that the transparency as it relates to real-time information, the personalization to create products that are not just commoditized didn't exist. And so we found this niche, and that's why we do what we do, to facilitate better lending experiences. The second part of it is, why do I personally do what I do? And I think the joke as an entrepreneur is you have to have a high tolerance for pain and rejection, which is definitely true. But, you know, I felt that building something from scratch and releasing it into the world and having other people use it and find some joy over it is just such a rewarding thing. A friend of mine once told me he was a product manager at one of the large FAN companies. He said, even on my best day, I could have my best day in an entire year, I'm still just a footnote in someone else's story. And so as an entrepreneur, not just as me as the CEO, but really everyone that works at Canopy, we ask them to think like an owner. And when you think like an owner, you are responsible for writing chapters of our story, not just a footnote. So making an impact is why I personally do what I do. The impact that we make to the world is Canopy.
So not only do you want to make sure that the lending process is more personalized, that it is a better experience for the customer, but you also wanted to do it yourself. So I think that is a great why. Now, what is the number one pain point you solve for your customers?
So every single bank, every credit union, every community bank, even every fintech who is offering a lending or even a depository product needs a banking core. And traditionally, banking cores are run by very, very large multi-billion dollar companies, FIS, Thesis, Fiserv, and these companies are primarily built on a programming language called COBOL. And that is 50 plus years old. And there's nothing wrong with a programming language, but it is not meant for modern times. It is not meant to be integrated as an API first company. These companies are still on green screens. And this is ultimately why we go back to the first point of commoditization. It's because there's an inability to make change to these products. Now, that's not how consumers and borrowers live. Think about if you own a pizza shop, a restaurant, There's going to be seasonality to your restaurant. Maybe you came up with a new recipe and it gets written up with a great review and you get a ton of demand. You might need more working capital, right? Because your inventory, your staff, your rent, most small businesses take out multiple lines of credit. And if you're not able to fluctuate with the business needs, which traditionally you can't because it's so fragmented from a data standpoint and also so rigid from a database standpoint, you don't make those changes. And so the small business gets declined. And so Canopy is an API first loan management platform. So after you decision someone, after you approve them, you create an account in Canopy system, and then all of the rules and policies that govern that lending product. Today, we support 20 different types of lending products. They are traditionally classified in three categories: revolving cards, installment loans, and secured or asset-backed products. Now, that allows you to do a lot with those three groupings. You can create merchant cash advance, different lines of credit, securitizing against a credit card, against a HELOC or commercial real estate. You're able to create AR financing, invoice factoring, lots of different financial products. And so we sell to banks and credit unions, to fintechs, as well as vertical software. So one of our customers, Flexport, they're a global logistics company. They have a subsidiary called Flexport Capital, because if you're shipping goods from Asia into the US, there are many pieces along the way, and it typically takes 90 plus days to get from the other side of the world. And if you are a supplier or merchant, you need working capital to continue to buy up inventory and run your business. And so Flexport Capital provides that, and they have a unique data advantage because they know exactly where the freight is along the way and can understand how they're going to get repaid. And so our software is accessed by the credit team at Flexport. It's accessed by the suppliers that use Flexport, and then it's accessed by the merchants to make repayments within Canopy.
So the process after the loan or line has been approved, that's basically where Canopy comes in, and you provide a lot more flexibility than that typical three-year loan that you were talking about. So for financial institutions that want something else than cookie cutter and something that is much more personalized, that's where Canopy comes in.
That's exactly right. So we call that post-origination software. So from creating an account all the way through charging off or closing your account, it's about 90% of the life of the loan, 90% of the engagement. That's where Canopy comes in. Who uses Canopy? The office of the CFO uses Canopy to close out their accounting books. The teams and risk teams use Canopy to emulate changes to their credit policy. Call center operators and agents use Canopy to answer questions for borrowers. Borrowers use Canopy to make repayments. And so some of the things that we do that differentiates us, obviously the flexibility of our data model, having multiple product types all under one roof, gives a universal understanding of the customer. And so one of the main differentiators of Canopy, outside of the flexibility and versatility of the product types we offer, it is in the servicing workflows and how we can connect to the other pieces of the lending ecosystem. Banks and fintechs already have a CRM. And so we connect right into Salesforce as an example, or right into NetSuite or Xero on the accounting piece. So as a platform, we're really an orchestration layer that sits on top of the other processes that you run your business on. We call them primitives. Primitives are really building blocks for lending. We like to say Legos for lending. And so as a system of record and banking core, we are the heartbeat of a lending program, but there are a lot of other services that need to surround this that we integrate directly in.
So that was exactly what came to mind for me, like an orchestrator between all the different systems, between all the players involved in the servicing of a loan. That sounds very valuable. Now, I'd like to do this thing called futures thinking. So we don't know what the future holds, but we can think about a possible future. So if we think 10 years out, so 2035, what do you think that your possible future could look like?
Well, 5-6 years ago, there were a proliferation of consumer debit card companies. So Chime, Step, Current, Greenlight, issuers like Marqeta made it really easy to launch debit cards. If you launch a debit card product, it's kind of like a square rectangle. It's very hard to retroactively move into a revolving or lending card product, but lending products are where companies make the most revenue. And so I do think that most of these companies that are debit cards can't exist as a single product, need to diversify into a multi-product company. We're seeing this with several of the international neobanks. Nubank is already doing this, Monzo, et cetera, in Europe, launching into lending and secondary products. SoFi did this here in the US. That's very important so that you're able to create a high LTV and retention rate for your customers, right? So having a debit card only isn't enough. One of the challenges, though, is that until Canopy came along, there really was a difficulty to create revolving cards and integrate with debit issuers. And so we help a lot of the debit issuers become revolving issuers. So I think more debit cards moving into credit cards is number one. That's probably a short-term future. I think that companies that are in vertical software payments, like Zelos in the healthcare space, Toast in the restaurant space. And so payments is a natural gateway into lending. And so I think we're just starting to see vertical software and payments being the first entry point, and then lending being the second wave. I do think there will be more lending programs in the future. Everyone is obviously talking about AI. I think what is being missed in the AI conversation is most people are thinking about agents as being able to have outbound or inbound conversations that would make call centers obsolete. That may be true, but today, the software that you are interacting with, it does not know the additional data from a lending or system of record standpoint to be able to create actions. So pick any of the proliferation of AI agent tooling. It's a slight step up from an IBR program, but if I were to call in and talk about a hardship or want to restructure my loan or want to be able to split my payments, these systems can't do that because they don't understand the lending data. And so I think the adoption of AI in fintech, at least beyond this initial use case, I think it's going to take a couple years to develop. Also, the fact that in highly regulated industries, you can't even have 1% hallucinations. I like to joke that being in this industry is a little bit like coaching the USA men's basketball team. You're expected to win, but when you lose, everybody complains. And so The system has to work. If it doesn't work, being able to get very specific and verticalized and take these large language models and customize them for a particular vertical and then connect that to the actual underlying data, I think it will be the next wave of things and certainly will be the future of lending several years ahead.
So blurring of the lines, lending and payments coming together, obviously impact of AI, but still human in the loop. So what do people need to do today to get ready for that possible future?
Well, I think number one, working with a system like Canopy or other modern software that is flexible to allow you to build on is really important. The complexity of the banking world is because they have continued to duct tape and band-aid over very old systems. And then it's like trying to redirect an oil tanker. We're able to build and execute at a very high velocity. And so not putting yourself in a corner, if you build just a debit card, you then can't reverse into revolving. So trying to think about your customers as they grow and become multi-product from the get-go, I think is very, very important. I also think that everybody should be working with some sort of co-pilot to help with productivity and understand AI tools. And then thinking about who owns the data. And Mark Benioff said this really well, that it's not the models. It isn't the servers or the infrastructure. It isn't even the UI. It is who owns the data will be the ones powering the future of AI. And so thinking about the data flow of different businesses and where that resides is certainly a very, very big competitive moat that should be planned.
So make sure that you are more modular, more nimble, so you can build for the future and think about your data model and how to structure that. I think that's probably a good point to wrap this up. Thank you, Matt, for being on the podcast.
Absolutely. This was really fun. Cheers.
And until next time, choose to be curious.